Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
These days, being single and looking to meet Mr. Right is sure to be challenging for any woman in society. Now let's add in the extra responsibility and investment in time it takes to raise one or more children by yourself and financially supporting yourself, and you are describing a scenario that can be extremely intimidating for just about any woman in today's dating scene. As we approach this year's Mother's Day holiday, let me ask this question to my listening audience. If you are a single mother, just how hard is it for you to develop and maintain an enjoyable love life and social life while also juggling your career and the needs of one or more children? What about if you're a man? When you meet a woman who you find yourself attracted to, do you ever become turned off once you find out that this woman has one kid, two kids, three kids, or four or more kids? Do you tend to consider children extra baggage? Are you reluctant to deal with baby mama, baby daddy drama? This evening, I'm going to engage in another one of my open discussion forum topics, and I invite all single mothers and the men who have pursued them, dated them, and even got turned off by them to call into my show tonight so that you can have the opportunity to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you though, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode 1, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 6th, and the day after Cinco de Mayo. And tonight, we're going to engage in yet another one of my popular open discussion forum topics. That's right. Again, probably 75 to 80% of my shows, I have a specific invited guest, usually like a book author or some expert in the dating and relationships field, and I chop it up with them. And then probably 15 to 20% of my shows or so are what I refer to as open discussion forums, where I pick a topic that I know is going to provoke interesting opinions, thoughts, viewpoints. And I primarily invite my listeners to call in and keep the discussion going. And I think this tonight will be no different. This evening's subject centers on the myriad of challenges faced by single mothers in today's dating scene. Now, of course, I've had a few people say, well, why not just single parents in general? Well, because Mother's Day is Sunday. And that's why I'm going to have a kind of secondary subtopic of maybe throughout the course of this conversation some of the challenges that single fathers face. But primarily, I want to concentrate on single mothers. So I'm not dissing single dads, but maybe I might talk about them as I'm closer to Father's Day. But today, we're talking about single mothers, the challenges of dating for single mothers. Now, as I said in my intro, it's nowadays dating is challenging for anybody. I mean, it's challenging for anybody. Any woman is challenging for, any man is challenging for. But I think based on what I know and what I've observed, it seems to be additionally challenging for the average single mother. So tonight I want to hear from primarily two groups. From the female gender, I want to hear quite naturally from women who are unmarried and either unmarried, they have children, and they're in a relationship with a gentleman. I would like to hear from women in that category. Also, I want to hear from unmarried women who have children who are looking for Mr. Right, but again, having their share of challenges. Secondly, on the male end, I want to hear from unmarried men who might be in a relationship with a woman with children, and I want to hear about the pros and cons. And then I want to hear about men who are reluctant to date single mothers.
have had their experiences, now they shy away from single mothers, or they never had an experience with a single mother and really don't want to. I've had a few guys in my day express that. They don't want to deal with a single mom. So, yeah, that's who I want to hear from. The number to call in is 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. That is the call-in number. Please press 1 when you call in. That's where I know you want to talk. If you don't press 1, I might be tempted to think you just calling in just to listen. So I might check on your microphone if you haven't pressed 1, but I would prefer you press 1. That lets me know that you want to talk. So yeah, I look forward to getting this discussion going again. Sunday is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the lovely women out there who have children, who have been a good mother to their children, taking care, sacrifice for their sons and or daughters. Much props to you. The job of a mother can never be lauded enough. Can never be lauded enough. You know, my mother was a great mother. I miss her to death. And, you know, she had her days now. You know, when she got on my case for leaving my shoes in the middle of the floor and, you know, that sort of thing, eating some of the chocolate chip cookie dough with my finger. But, you know, you just got to love mom. You just got to love mom. You know, hopefully all kids love their mother, you know. And so, yeah, happy Mother's Day to you. My chat room, I love all my listeners, as everyone knows. I love all my listeners all over the country and even some of my listeners outside the country. I had a listener from Australia, I think it was last week. But I have particular love for my chat room listeners. In my chat room right now, I got Sean, the outspoken one, otherwise known in the chat room as To Be Enlightened. I got Boss EMP. Boss EMP is in my chat room. I got my close friend, good friend, lady friend from Columbus, Ohio, Adrian, the biggest sports fanatic female ever, like ever in the history of life, ever. Diva 362636, that's what she's known as in the chat room. I got Cali Champ in the chat room. I got Down South Georgia Girl. Man, DSGG, I haven't seen her in a while. That's my girl, Down South Georgia Girl. See, if you listen to my show back in 2008, she was like a regular fixture in my chat room. Down South Georgia Girl. Down South Georgia Girl. Now, as you know, if she got a username like Down South Georgia Girl, she don't live in Kentucky or Louisiana. She lives in Georgia. She's Down South Georgia Girl. I got Glendon, the poet, is in my chat room. I got a couple guests in my chat room. I got Hypert. Hypert is arguably my most loyal. Him and Adrian run neck and neck in terms of who's my most loyal list. Hypert, man, I don't care if it's a tsunami, a tornado, whatever. Hypert is in my chat room. I got Korea in my chat room. I got Pearls Before Swine in my chat room. I got Not Dummy 2414, not Ignorant 2414, not I Don't Know Anything 2414. I got Scholar 2414 in my chat room. And I also got Not Misguided, Not Other People Guided, Not My Dog Guides Me, but I got Self-Guided in my chat room. That's right. Much love to my chat room listeners. And, of course, my other shout-outs would be my beautiful and talented girlfriend, Happy Mother's Day to her. She is actually my girlfriend, single mom, has a very gorgeous daughter, and I love them both to death. And that would be Miss Tyler Collins with the, she has new music coming, so stay tuned. You'll probably hear about it first here on Blog Talk Radio when the music's officially out. That's right. Tyler Collins coming out with some new music. Look up this old video. It cracked me up. She's in an old video, Tevin Campbell, called Goodbye. You can see Tyler Collins from the old days. Much love to my baby. My brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, he just finished his second year of grad school. Much props to my broham. He's headed towards his master's. He been getting nothing but A's. I'm proud of my older brother. You know, hey, much love to the broham. My cousin, J.P. Jones. That's right, my cousin, J.P. Jones, in Chicago. My other cousin in Maplewood, New Jersey, Athabal, that's right. And his mother, my Aunt Evelyn in South Bend, that's right. Christopher Curry, my cousin in Detroit. Lorraine Nichols, my aunt. Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3. His nephew, Cody Carlin, was tearing it up on the baseball field. That's right. He's a high school baseball superstar, Cody Garland. Much props to him. Got Nohad, a.k.a. Metal Hayes, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, Steve the Dean Williams, Will Wavy, Mel Hopkins, Kathy Holloway Hill, Chad Hunter, and all of my other fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, as well as my Facebook buddies, and many others. That's right. If you want to look me up on iTunes, some of my past shows on iTunes. You can Google me, Alan Roger Curry. Google me, that's right, or Mode 1, Alan Roger Curry, or Mode 1. And, yeah, I got a new ebook out. Go to my site, mode1.net, mode1.net, and you'll find my new ebook is called Semantics and Scenarios. Semantics and Scenarios. That's right. Check it out. Real quickly, NBA playoffs are going on. Orlando and Atlanta are playing tonight. I think Orlando might be ahead. 88-85, I believe it is. Orlando's ahead 88-85. Who, hey? What's Diva talking about? Ain't nobody Googling me. Hey, I got a lot of people Googling me. Don't be talking about it. Don't try that, Diva. Shoot, I get Googled quite a bit. That is right. So Orlando, Lakers and Suns are both up 2-0. Lakers and Suns are both up 2-0. Cleveland and Boston 1-1. Cleveland and Boston are tied 1-1. Hey, get this. Dwayne Wade, I don't know if you know, but Dwayne Wade is, he plays for the Miami Heat in the NBA. He's dating an actress by the name of Gabrielle Union. And Gabrielle Union is being sued by Dwayne Wade's ex-wife, Sylvain Wade. She claims that Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union have been getting kind of a little too fresh with each other in front of the kids, and she doesn't like, so she's suing for $50,000. That ain't much, you know. So this ain't about the money. This is about her trying to get back. That's just a trip, man. I mean, she going to sue them because she say they too intimate in front of her kids. They have two kids, I think a son, two sons, one 2 and one 8. And, yes, Dwayne Wade is dating Gabrielle Union. And I want to see how that's going to play out. That's interesting. These celebrity divorces are all always interesting. I mean, you know, it's challenging, I think, for anybody to go through a divorce. That's number one, separation and divorce. That's challenging for anybody. But when you're under the microscope, when you're in the public eye, oh, man. Yeah, that's just, I just feel for anybody who has to go through a divorce in the public eye. When it gets messy, like Sandra Bullock is going through, you know, a divorce. I don't know. This disappointed me. On a still kind of on the subject of sports, Lawrence Taylor is a Hall of Fame linebacker. Used to play for the New York Giants. And he has been charged with not just rape. If he was just charged with rape, that would be bad enough. But he's charged with raping a 15-year-old prostitute. Man, I'm hoping that something is wrong with that story. I'm hoping there's some facts that are wrong or something. Because when you got to get to a point where you are raping a 15-year-old runaway prostitute, come on, LT, man. Say it ain't so, brother. Please, man. Please, man. I know you had your challenges with substance abuse and all that, but come on, bro. You came back. You was on Dancing with the Stars. Come on, man. Come on, bro. You just call me up, dude. I'll hook you up, dude. I know some honeys, man, that'll hook up with you, man. Come on, dude. 15-year-old prostitute, dude. Come on, man. That's just very sad, very disappointing. For all you comic book fans, and I got a cousin who's usually listening to my show, Hype Style, Christopher Curry. One of my favorite comic book characters when I was a little kid was Iron Man. I don't know if you remember the theme song to Iron Man. I should go look for it on the internet and play it for you guys. It's Tony Stark. Makes you feel he's the coolest cat with the heart of steel. And Iron Man with all the jets of flame. He's fighting with repulsor rays. I know, I can't sing. But I used to love me some Iron Man. Iron Man 2 is out tomorrow. Iron Man 2. John Favreau, guess what's the significance of the director of Iron Man 2? John Favreau, number one, he was in one of my favorite romantic comedies of all time, Swingers. He wrote Swingers. I love that movie. If you're familiar with it, I love that movie. Swingers, if you've never seen it, rent it. That's probably the best romantic comedy ever from the male perspective. From the male perspective, I would rank that as the best romantic comedy ever written is Swingers. If you've never seen it, please. That's the movie that made Vince Vaughn famous. But anyway, Jon Favreau actually owns a copy of Mode 1. You didn't know that, did you? John Favreau actually requested a copy back in 2006 of Mode 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah, up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
So when you go see Iron Man 2, tell your friends, say, hey, you know the director of that movie owns a copy of Alan Roger Curry's paperback, Mode 1. That's right, yeah. He's mentioned in Mode 1. That's half the reason why he requests a copy. I actually mentioned his name and his movie, Swingers, in Mode 1. Also, another famous director that has a copy of Mode 1 is Kevin Smith. I don't know if you're familiar with Kevin Smith. He directed Chasing Amy and Clerks and Dogma, and a few other movies. He has a copy of Mode 1. He has a copy of Mode 1. Guess who else has a copy of Mode 1? Women not going to like this, but this relates to tonight's topic. Are you familiar with a radio personality by the name of Tom Lakis? Tom Lakis is probably the most and harshest critic of single moms of any public figure I know. That's like his main mantra or shtick. He's always dogging out single moms. Tom Lakers. If you've never heard him, Google him. He's a syndicated radio host. He just trashes. See, particularly women, single moms who had kids out of wedlock. He's not as harsh on women who had kids out of a marriage, but for women who had kids out of wedlock, oh man, he's merciless. But he has a copy. He has a copy of Mode 1. He got a copy of Mode 1 a long time ago. He actually mentioned Mode 1 on his show one time. Speaking of out of wedlock, I found this interesting statistic in an internet article. Do you know right now 41% of births are to unmarried women? 41% of all births are to unmarried women. That is up from 28% in 1990. So 20 years ago, 28% of all births were to unmarried women. Now it's up to 41%. And even when you get into ethnicity, 50% of all births to Hispanic unmarried, to Hispanic women are unmarried women. 50% of all births of Hispanic women are to unmarried women. And this is going to knock some socks off. Roughly 73% of all births to black women are to unmarried black women. 73%. That's basically 3 out of every 4 children that are born to black women are born to black women who are not married and or have never been married. That is almost a startling statistic. I see a few more people in the chat room. Atlanta Boss is in my chat room. I see Damone Nolan in my chat room. Who else? James 365 is in my chat room, and I see a few more guests in my chat room. I'm going to take a brief intermission, and when I get back, I'm going to talk to a couple of ladies who will share some of their thoughts and insight on the challenges of dating for single women. The challenges of dating for single women. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Hey. I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com, and remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight, we're having another what I refer to as my open discussion forum format. That means I don't have a specific guest like, you know, a book author, dating relationship expert. But I do have two ladies who have their own thoughts, opinions, viewpoints on the whole issue of the challenges of for dating for single moms. And before I introduce them, I got a trivia quiz for you. Who is quite arguably, and I'm going to date myself because the younger generation probably won't be familiar with this woman, but who would you say is one of the most famous single moms of all time? Of all time. Okay, one guess would be Julia, played by Diane Carroll. Julia, you remember Julia? People like, nah, bro, I don't remember Julia. Julia, she was a nurse. That was the TV show. Diane Carroll, she was a single mom. Julia, come on, man. Somebody had to remember Julia. People like, man, Alan, you must be old. I never heard of that show. Julia. Yeah, somebody said, Mama on What's Happening. Mama on What's Happening. Then, of course, just internationally known woman who was a single mom who hooked up with a single dad. I'll give you a clue right here.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. Had hair of gold like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunch, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way they all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch. That's the way they became the Brady Bunch.
Ha ha ha! The Brady Bunch, man! Is that a classic show or what?
Stupid.
Hey, man, I grew up watching the Brady's, man. Greg and Carol Brady? Man, Greg and Carol Brady? Man, they were the role models for single parenthood, man. A single mom with three kids hooked up with a single dad with three kids. Man, that was the show. Now, if you remember, they had that little tic-tac-toe at the beginning, and it's funny that Robert Reed was always on the bottom, you know, in that middle down low cubicle. Some people would get that about 10 minutes from now. They'd be like, oh, Alan, that ain't even right. That ain't even right. But right now, I'm going to bring on two guests of mine to help me discuss this subject, the challenges of being a single mom. One is an entrepreneur, a writer who maintains a popular blog and website, theworldofsingleparenthood.com. Theworldofsingleparenthood.com. And she is currently in the process of creating a reality series that will, I guess, chronicle the day-to-day, week-to-week challenges of single parenthood. So I'm assuming single moms and single dads. And the other is also a writer. The other young lady I'm going to be speaking with this evening is also a writer and award-winning professional speaker, certified corporate trainer, specializing in both communication and relationship issues. She has facilitated workshops and seminars throughout all the country, throughout the United States and beyond, on creating conscious relationships for both singles and couples. She has a new book entitled, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? A creative storybook guide to preparing your children with love, which provides an innovative and professionally acclaimed new approach to breaking the news of divorce to your children. My guest, she is the founder of the Child Center Divorce Network, which provides resources that help parents create successful outcomes for the entire family for years and decades to come. So on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, listeners, please give it up for Miss Jessica Fernandez and Rosalind Sadaka. How are you, ladies?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Glad to have you on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And now, I don't know if you heard the statistics that I stated, but I'm going to start off with you, Jessica, and then I'm going to ask you, Rosalind. What are your thoughts on the high statistics of births to unmarried women?
I'm actually not surprised. To tell you the truth, I know that the rates have increased dramatically within the past few years. I actually was expecting it to be a little bit higher.
Really?
To tell you the truth, yeah, just from the research that I've done and during the development process of my reality series, I was expecting it to be a little bit higher. So, but I'm not surprised at all. I mean, divorce rates are increasing, you know, every year, and you know that means you know more and more moms and dads are, you know, become, you know, starting to raise their kids on their own. So I'm definitely not surprised. And I don't, you know, hopefully we all hope that it's going to get better, but I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to keep going up.
Rosalind, what are your thoughts on these statistics?
Well, it makes me very sad, but I don't think most of those statistics are related to divorce. From what you were saying, I think that's another segment of the population that are choosing to have babies, and they're not necessarily married. They're in relationships that didn't last very long. And so I don't think the higher percentage of them are due to divorce, but that definitely is another segment, and that's the segment that I want to talk about, of course, is because when you do have when you become a single mother after a divorce, you not only have the relationship with your children to deal with, but you have the relationship with your ex, and that complicates matters even more.
Okay, well, since you opened up that segue for me, let's talk specifically, because there are different types of single moms who might be widowed, single moms who are divorced, as we mentioned, single moms who are just unmarried, never been married, but right now focusing on those single moms by virtue of divorce. What are your thoughts on the specific challenges that a divorced single mother faces in today's dating scene?
Well, you, as we all know, being single is challenging. Everyone is looking for the right person to move ahead into a relationship with, and suddenly life is much more complex when you have children. And it's so important that the mother be responsible and mature enough when she's thinking about dating to realize that she has to put her children's needs first before she moves ahead. And it's tempting not to. You want to go out, you want to party, you want to meet guys at clubs and do things with your friends, and you have the responsibility of what do you do with the kids, what do you say to the kids, what do you say to the guys about the kids, and all of that has to be thought about before you move ahead. And also the amount of time since you were divorced, because children, obviously, are going to be attached to the dad that they love. And when dad is out of the picture, whether he's still co-parenting or whether he's totally out of the picture, all of that creates complications. And children are going to be very resistant to suddenly having new guys floating around the house and floating in and out of mom's life and taking mom's attention. And they're likely to be acting out and resisting and creating a lot of tension and frustration for mom. So if she handles things in a way that is thought out beforehand, each of these areas can be discussed, thought about, and dealt with. But if you don't and you just go marching forth, you could create a real complexity of disasters that will not only affect your life, but seriously impact the kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jessica, you have any particular thoughts on divorced single mothers?
Like she said, I think the biggest challenge will be trying to, you know, move on from the divorce and develop a relationship with, you know, her ex-husband, and at the same, you know, for the sake of the children, and just being able to juggle all that. I mean, I think that would be the biggest challenge. And also, you know, helping the kids adjust to the fact that, you know, dad's not living at home anymore. You know, he's living in another house, and, you know, like they're having split custody and they have to keep going back and forth. I mean, I can imagine that's going to be hard for a child to adjust to that, having to go back and forth from one house to another. I mean, I think that's going to be another challenge of a divorce, you know, mom.
Now, do you think the core family structure, the nuclear family in American society, number one, is it in danger? And if so, and I guess most people would say yes, why do you think it is?
Well, personally, I think if you look around us, kids are exposed to such poor models in movies, in TV shows, in the way they see adults behaving, that by the time they get into their teens, they really have been exposed to more sex and violence than any other culture in the history of mankind. And so it's not surprising that they're acting out and being promiscuous and doing what kids might have always wanted to do, but there's more freedom in this society to do it, and there's more peer pressure. And so when you get into relationships and your parents were not ideal role models, no wonder they're doing things for all the wrong reasons and making mistakes, and it's just compounded. I think it's our generation of adults that have to take responsibility and develop some values that they talk about in the home and then be role models. And I know that's hard. It's hard for every one of us because none of us are perfect. But if we don't think about things first, and that's what I think is the key, being consciously aware of what you're doing, the decisions you make as parents, then you forget the impact you have on your kids, and it's so easy for them to get waylaid by all the absurdity going on in our culture right now. You could lose track of those kids, and that's what perpetuates a lot of the behaviors that are creating so much tension in our culture and so much moral decay and promiscuity and all the things that we really would like to not see in our kids.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, your thoughts on the diminishing status of the core nuclear family structure in American society?
I mean, I know with my own experience in raising my daughter, she's almost 7 now. She'll be 7 in June. And, you know, from when she started kindergarten until now, she's in first grade, she's changed a lot. Like the way things are today, things that 7 and 8-year-olds are doing right now are things that I would have never done at that age. So it's definitely different. And my biggest challenge is because I'm young, you know, I'm 28 years old, I have to, you know, I have to keep thinking to my, I have to keep thinking twice about all of my actions. Like when I plan to do something, okay, how is this going to affect my daughter? Like, okay, am I setting a good example? Will I be happy if she grows up wanting to do this? So I always have to really, I can't just make a decision and jump into it. I always have to think about it because I know that she's watching TV and she's, you know, when I'm around her, I only let her watch specific channels. But when she's with my family or she's at, she has play dates, I don't know what they're watching on TV. And there's just so much out there. And, you know, that's my biggest challenge as a single mom, you know, with just trying to deal with all of that. That's been really hard for me because kids these days are very advanced for their age and they're seeing things that, you know, they shouldn't be seeing and being exposed to things they shouldn't be exposed to. And, you know, and just doing, you know, playing the role of mom and dad, it's hard to deal with all of that.
Now, Jessica, what's your idea for the, you don't have to give all the details, but what made you come up with the idea of having a reality series about mm-hmm. single parenthood? What do you hope that the viewers will gain from watching this reality series?
Well, I came up with the concept because I'm a big fan of the Housewives of Orange County series.
Okay.
And, you know, Vicki Goldenson was also a single mom. And just when she started telling her story of how, you know, she had, you know, when she got divorced and she didn't have any support. She didn't even have a college education, no skills or anything. And, you know, and she just kind of, you know, never gave up hope that there was something out there for her. And, I mean, and look at her now. She's, you know, she's very successful. And that kind of inspired me. And then I thought, they have so many reality shows out there, you know, on good topics, good things, but then they have all these reality shows that are, you know, they don't make sense. I was like, they should, you know, I personally, I like watching reality shows that I could somehow relate to. And, you know, and like you said, the rates are increasing for single parents, you know, and then I was like, and I started thinking, I was like, wouldn't it be great if they had a reality show that would document the lives of inspirational single parents, meaning single parents that, you know, are not letting the challenges of raising a family on their own get in the way of their dreams and their goals. Because I know I spent the last 5 years after my daughter was, you know, the first year, 4 or 5 years after my daughter was born, just kind of losing hope on everything. I had no self-confidence. You know, her daughter left before she was even born, and that really just tore me up inside. And, you know, I had no self-confidence. I didn't, you know, I had really low self-esteem, and that really affected all of my plans. I mean, I even dropped out of school at one point, and it really took a lot. I had to do a lot of soul-searching for me to get back on track and, you know, start going to church again. And you know, and now I'm in a good place, and I feel like if I could develop a reality series that would document the lives of inspirational single parents, you know, with most viewers of reality television being women, you know, hopefully these stories will inspire them, those who are in the same dark place I was, you know, a few years ago, and inspire them to, you know, to start believing in their goals and in their dreams. Because, you know, whatever life they make for themselves, that's going to affect their children.
Now, I take it you're single right now, Jessica?
Yes, I'm currently single.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to ask you a few questions about some of your recent dating experiences. But going back to Rosalyn, if a woman is, say, I don't know, got divorced in January of this year, how soon is there like an ideal time frame she should wait before dating after her divorce is final, or can she just jump back into the dating scene immediately?
Well, that's a great question, Alan, and it's an important one. It depends on the woman. It depends on a lot of the circumstances. Jumping right in is not always the healthiest thing to do. you need a time to grieve. And even if you were the initiator in the divorce, even if the divorce was your idea and you're relieved to get out of the marriage, you need a time to regroup and grieve the loss of the dream, because a divorce is a very disappointing thing in life, at the least. And so you also need a time to sit down and talk to your children and get an idea of their emotional adjustment, what they're feeling, and how upset they are about the circumstances. I'll tell you one thing. The more that a father is still involved in the kid's life, and the more the kids still know that dad is there for them, the less they will be upset when mom at a certain point starts dating and creating a new life, because they haven't lost their dad. But the more dad is out of the picture, and the more threatened they are that some other guy is suddenly in their lives, the more difficult the transition is. So it all depends on the relationship between the parents after the divorce. Are the parents being civil with one another? Are they respecting one another? Are they not bad-mouthing one another, so that the kids don't have to live with that kind of tension, which is very emotionally disturbing? If dad is still in the picture, as was in the case with my husband, and my son never felt that he was losing his dad, he was much more receptive when I started dating, because he knew these were friends of mom. These were guys in my life, but they weren't dad. They weren't taking his place. And that's a crucial point. And, of course, not every family has the ideal situation that they want. Time-wise also, if you're jumping in, it's usually a rebound, meaning that you're trying to compensate for the sadness in your life, for the loss, for the limitations in your relationship, and sexual frustration, and all the other things that happen in the months and years prior to a divorce. And very often, if we jump in too quickly, we make stupid mistakes. And it was great that your other guest talked about the fact that you have to be a role model for your kids, and you have to be acting in the mature way you expect them to act. And sometimes parents who are single anew get giddy, and they start behaving like teenagers, and they're out late at night, and they're drinking, and they're doing things that their kids are picking up on, and they're really not being healthy role models for the children. So you have to, again, stop and think and say, how is my behavior going to be affecting the kids? Dialogue with the kids. Be as honest as you can in communicating with the kids. And that doesn't mean sharing your dirty laundry about your ex and about the divorce, because that's very inappropriate. But it does mean trying to tell the kids about how you're feeling in dating and relationships, and if you're sad. I used to confide in my son when I did start dating again and say, see how sad mom is because that guy said he was going to call me and he didn't. I wanted my son to understand some of the repercussions, so that when he was older, and he was 11 when I got divorced, I wanted when he was a teenager and started dating to realize and be sensitive to what it feels like for the woman's side of it. And so we talked a lot about dating and relationships, and I think it's a good opportunity, since you're single and starting to do that, to have conversations. It's good for moms to talk to their daughters. It's good to talk to your sons and discuss these things and ask them questions and get their feelings and let them know about your own experiences, but always age appropriate, and never as a friend or a confidant, always as a parent who's making suggestions and giving good advice and being a really positive role model.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ladies, I'm going to take a quick intermission break. But I am going to come right back and continue this conversation. And when I get back, Jessica, I want you to tell me about some of your more interesting experiences in terms of maybe going out with guys, meeting guys, their reaction to you being a single mom. And listeners, if you want to call in with some questions or some thoughts of your own, number is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. Please call in with your questions, your thoughts, your opinions about the challenges of dating for single mothers. If you're a man, call in and let us know What are your thoughts on dating a woman who's a single mother? Look forward to it. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Chew, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah.
know
that. It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now return to my open discussion forum topic for this evening, which is the challenges of dating for single mothers on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're having an open discussion forum once again on my show, and tonight's episode centers on the challenges of dating for single mothers. The challenges of dating for single mothers. And I have two very intelligent and articulate women I'm speaking with this evening about this subject. One is Jessica Fernandez. She is a writer, entrepreneur, and single mom. She's in the process of creating a reality series that focuses on the challenges of single parenthood. And the other is a very accomplished writer, award-winning professional speaker, certified corporate trainer, and her name is Rosalind Sadaka. And she's been offering her insight and expertise, particularly on divorced single moms, Again, if you want to call in with a question or comment, number is 646-478-5710. Real quick, I see at least one or two people came in my chat room since the last time I gave shout-outs. Cruiser24 is in my chat room. Cruiser24. Dashanique123 is in my chat room. Dashanique123 is in my chat room. DJ Squid was in my chat room. Looked like he stepped out. DJ Squid in the chat room. Yes, I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. See, I got area code 215, area code 215, and I think this is Alex, the Haitian sensation. Alex, what is a question or comment you have related to anything that Jessica or Rosalind has said tonight?
Well, my one thing is, one question I would have for them is, as single mothers, first of all, when it comes to dating, is there preference for men who are also fathers, where there's that commonality as far as understanding parenthood, or do they prefer to date the childless men? Because I've seen excerpt from a Tyra show where you have single moms who refuse to date men with children who want a man that's childless so he can focus only on them and their child, which I think is hypocritical. So what do you ladies have to say about that?
I personally don't have a preference. I don't discriminate. For me, it's about the attraction and the chemistry. I love kids, so whether they have kids or not, that wouldn't bother me at all. You know, to me, the first thing I look for is, you know, the chemistry and also how he, you know, would interact around my daughter. Like, if he likes kids, you know, if he's a family person. You know, I'm more attracted to a man who's, like, a family person, because then I know that, you know, someone who comes from a very good family, that they're more likely to treat your child, you know, as if they were their own child, if we were to move on and get into a really serious relationship.
Yes, and I agree that it's really important to be choosing the person on their character and not have rules about those things. But in general, a guy who does have children and has a good relationship with his children is certainly going to be more likely to be a parent material for another relationship. So I think it certainly is foolish to count that out. That being stated, it is blended families are complex. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of challenges when you bring children from two different marriages together and assume they're going to get along because the mother and father have fallen in love. So it's another set of challenges, and you have to take it very slowly, step by step, but it is doable, and I think people should be open to dating anyone who they feel will make a good parent. But the primary thing should be protecting your children and making sure whoever you're dating is really good for that child or your children, and that the children seem to be developing a healthy bond and relationship. If not, then that's something that really needs to be worked on very slowly. And sometimes bringing in professional help, counseling, is a way of dealing with that and smoothing over some of the rough spots.
Alan, if you don't mind me asking a follow-up question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because the lady says, no, it's important that he shows to be, you know, father material. Now, if the man does not have children and he would want to have children, what about you ladies? Do you feel that, you know, you've had enough, that's it, or, you know, the shop closed, or would you be willing to have a child with that man should that relationship persist to marriage?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, lots of women do that. And
yeah.
That bonds a relationship in a good way as long as you start off. But I think you should be slowing down and not doing that too quickly so that you develop a healthy relationship with the child that's already in the picture or the children already there before you bring in other children to complicate matters.
Don't you have concerns over the fact that maybe he would bond to the child that's biologically his more strongly to the child that's not, even if he loves
sure.
your child?
Sure, that's definitely a possibility, and that's why everything has to be taken slowly and discussed, and you really have to know that whoever you're bringing into your life does love and values the child that they are getting through the marriage. That's so important because the feeling for a child to feel that they've kind of been abandoned, that mom chose another relationship over them, is devastating for a child emotionally. They can get scarred for life. So it's very important that there's a healthy relationship with this new male role model in their life, and that it's a slow process. You don't want to rush into those things. Time will tell. You know, very often we get into relationships and people seem like they're just wonderful people to be with, and it's only after many, many months that you sort of see the warts and the real persona comes out. And so you want to take it very slowly and don't introduce your children to anyone you're dating until there's a real level of serious commitment on your part. When you have a door that opens and closes every few weeks with someone new coming in, it can be very confusing for the children, and they get attached to people, and then they're gone, and it isn't healthy for the kids to have that revolving door. So take it slow. Don't bring the men into your life, into the children's life too quickly until you really feel this is someone that you're serious enough about that they may be a potential life partner, and then bring the children in and then start that process. I certainly advise being slow and cautious in all of it.
Now, I'm definitely with you as far as taking the time before I introduce the man to the kids. But now when you meet a new man, how soon do you let him know you have children? Is this something you let him know ahead of time, or do you wait till he's kind of falling for you first before you drop that bombshell?
Oh, no. That's something that you have to be upfront about. You don't want to have a guy think you're single and then 3 months later say, surprise. No, that's like your name and your age. If you're not honest about certain basic things from the beginning, then you're starting the relationship in a deceitful manner. And what kind of a role model are you going to be for your children if that's the way you behave? So up front, you have to talk about things and not lie. And children is something that's a reality. If I have three kids, I have three kids, and I want a guy who's going to love me with three kids. And I can't hide them and pretend that my sister has them or my mother has them because I'm dating. Because that's just going to get you into a can of worms. And that isn't the life you want to live. So this is a new opportunity to start a new chapter in your life, and if you made some mistakes before, and that's why you had a divorce, and you didn't have the wisest choices in who you're picking as partners, now's a chance to really stop and think and do the work on yourself. You may want to go into therapy between the relationships to get a little more confidence in yourself, feel better about yourself, and move ahead knowing that you are valuable, you are worthwhile dating, your children are wonderful, and that you want to attract into your life someone who's going to love you and support you and respect you. But if you start out with any level of dishonesty, then you're just opening the door for a dysfunctional relationship, a toxic relationship, and that's not what you want to do. We don't want to be repeating the process. Unfortunately, the statistics are, even though the first divorce may be close to 50%, the percentage goes up higher for second marriages and third marriages. The odds go up to 60 and 70%, and that's because people didn't learn the lessons from the first time around. But you can. You can stop and do the personal work, know it, what it is that you want to change about yourself first, because you can't change other people. You have to work on yourself, love yourself, like yourself, feel good about yourself, and then go out and you will attract a different kind of person into your life. And that's going to make a difference, and that's the greatest gift you could give to your kids, isn't it?
Hey, Rosalyn, now I want to make sure you punched the word up front, so because my show is upfront, straightforward, I want you to emphatically say, you, men and women, you have to be upfront and straightforward.
Absolutely. There's no value or good that can come from deceit and playing games of any kind. That's why I hate those books about dating tricks and shenanigans where you're playing games and you're pretending to be something you're not. Because ultimately, we all find ourselves out, and why waste a year of your life playing a game when who you are is going to come out and you're going to end up with a disaster anyway? So be upfront. Be proud of yourself.
Upfront in what?
Proud.
No, you're supposed to say upfront and straightforward.
Straightforward, absolutely. Oh, yes. Upfront, straightforward.
Okay, Alex, I got to move on. I want to ask Jessica some questions, but did you have one quick final comment?
My last question to them, to the both of them, is, now what if they meet a man who's, you know, who's got all the right stuff as far as the character and everything, the love of good conversation, but he is emphatic about not getting involved with a single mom? Like, how do you ladies feel about that? Like, have you dealt with that, and how do you move on from that?
Well, isn't that obvious? That if you've got a man who doesn't want to be with a woman with children, then that's not fit for you. You don't give up the most precious things in your life, and that's your children. And because there's something that's not right about that relationship to start with, and that is too great a sacrifice to make, to put your children as secondary. Your children are innocent, and they need your protection and attention. And no relationship can compensate, because if you wait, you will find someone who will love you and your children and do right by you. And isn't it worth it?
Yeah, it is, definitely. I actually feel the same way. If I was in that situation, I would walk away. Because my daughter comes first. She's the biggest blessing and the best gift ever. And, you know, If a man that I'm gonna be with has to be, you know, someone who she's gonna get along with, who he is gonna be able to accept, but someone like that, I wouldn't want even near my daughter. I wouldn't even consider it. I'd probably end the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jessica, you informed me privately that you've had some dating experiences that have been so interesting that it could be turned into a book or a movie. Give me two or three examples of some of your dating experiences that have either been very, very interesting, very, very challenging, very, very frustrating that a woman listening could learn from.
Well, the first experience is, you know, with my daughter's father. You know, after, you know, he left before she was born, and then he got married, I think, about 2.5 years after our daughter was born. And the issue that I had with him was just, you know, him, because he lived so close, we lived kind of a couple miles apart from each other. You know, he always just thought, well, just because, you know, I'm the mother of his child, that whenever, you know, he wanted to take a break from his marriage life, that he could come to me. And that was, you know, one of the issues that I dealt with throughout the years. And, you know, him not wanting me to move on with someone else was another issue. And so just dealing
with that. Time out for a second. So you're saying your daughter's father, even after he got married to another woman, he didn't want you really seeing other men?
Nope. For a while, he gave me a very hard time for it. He gave me a very hard time with it. He, you know, caused a lot of, you know, he would give me threats. He would threaten to take my daughter, you know, out of the country. Like, he really made my life live in hell for a while. It took a long time, and he was married. And You know, it was very hard because I was afraid, you know, the moment my daughter was born, I made a pact that I wouldn't even start dating until I got myself together and finished school. So I didn't even start dating until my daughter was three. But, you know, whenever he'd see me, you know, because I'm very friendly. I have a lot of guy friends that I'm really close with, but they're nothing other than that. They're just friends. So whenever he would see something like that, he would automatically start getting very defensive and just say, oh, I don't want you being with him, or, you know what I mean, you know, you're the mother of my child, you can't, you know, be dating, you know, it should always be about my daughter. Like, he was just very defensive and just didn't want me moving on, but it was okay for him to move on and have his life and have, you know, his marriage and have his kids, but it wasn't okay for me to move on.
Wow, talking about wanting to have your cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A piece of work.
Definitely.
Okay, moving on. Give me one other experience that you found interesting, challenging, frustrating.
The first serious relationship that I had after my daughter was born was actually with a guy a little older than me, and he, you know, was okay with the fact that I had a child. I actually waited almost close to six months before I introduced him to my daughter. But when I did talk about him around my daughter, I would always talk about him as being my friend. My daughter never saw him as being my boyfriend. And even until the end, my daughter never saw him as being my boyfriend. It was always, he's my close friend. So, but with him, the hard part was him wanting him always wanting more attention than what I could give him. And that was the issue I had with him, because at that time, you know, I was working full time. I was going to school full time, you know, I was taking care of my daughter and keeping up with her activities, and basically I wasn't able to spend as much time with him as he wanted. Like, he wanted to have me all the time, and, you know, I was always very careful with that because my daughter always came first, and, you know, because of that, my time with him was always limited. So, you know, that relationship ended because, you know, I couldn't handle doing everything that I was doing, going to school, working, and having a relationship with my daughter. I just couldn't do it. But it was very hard. We struggled for months because of that, because he didn't feel like I was giving him the attention he deserved, because I was always putting my daughter first.
Let me ask both of you all. We've kind of been just talking about being a single mom in general, but let's kind of divide it by gender. Do you operate differently when you're the mother of, say, one or two daughters as opposed to one or two sons? How quickly would you introduce a man you're dating to your daughter as opposed to son? Would it be the same time frame, or would it be different for a daughter versus a son?
From my perspective, it would be the same. The gender of the child isn't as much an issue as the age of the child, the relationship you have with the child, and the child's relationship with their father, and how the healthier the parents after divorce are in their own communication and relationship, then the less traumatized the kids are about anyone new coming in. But I do think the gender is affected by relationships. My son enjoyed playing with the guys that I had several long-term relationships with guys in the years after I divorced, and I ultimately have remarried. But I had two or three relationships over 10 years, and my son enjoyed the relationships with the guys who were in my life. And I think having another guy around was very positive for him. So I think in that regard, having a guy to do some other playing ball and sports and those kinds of things was very positive for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, why do you, and I kind of asked a variation of this question earlier, but what I'm noticing in today's society, and this is kind of, I guess, getting away from you two individually and at the risk of speaking for other women, I hear a lot of women that are basically content with this whole baby mama role and having a guy just be a sperm donor. Where do you think this is coming from?
Well, it's sad because relationships are tough, and a lot of women have been hurt and scarred, emotionally, and they just sort of give up. And I think they decide, if I can't find a good relationship, then I'm just going to move ahead and be a mom. And that's a whole different mindset. And it can work out, but it's very challenging. And there are a lot of responsibilities you have being alone, raising a child. You definitely need to bring other people into your life so that the child has experiences with other people to compensate for the fact that it isn't a mom and a dad. So it can be done, but you definitely need support and help and a good mindset. You also don't want to be giving your child a bad taste about some people say all men are this, all women are that, and make those kinds of generalizations and poison their children against the opposite gender, which is really damaging. So you certainly don't want to be doing that. Ideally, healthy relationships make life easier for children. But if children get loved and supported, then almost any kind of dynamic will work for them in being raised. It's the quality of the parenting that they get that's most important when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, your thoughts on this whole baby, women being content. Like, I've heard women say that they don't even really want to be a wife or get married. They just want to be a baby mama. Where do you think that comes from?
The past relationships, you know, the way they were treated in the past by men, having their heart broken. And I could definitely relate to that because that's how I felt, you know, when my daughter was first born. You know, I didn't want anything to do with men. You know, I didn't even go out. I didn't even leave my house unless it was for school or to run errands. I stopped going out socializing for a long time because I was just afraid, you know, to meet the wrong man. Like, I still believed there were good men out there. I just didn't believe that I was going to attract the right one. I felt like all the wrong ones were coming to me. Like, I just felt like I was attracting all the wrong ones. And, you know, it's because of what, you know, I've been through with what I went through with her father and, you know, my relationship before that. I was just afraid to get hurt again. And then I thought about all the pain that I went through with my past relationships. And I said, you know, I just kept telling myself, like, I don't want my daughter to see me go through that pain, see me cry, see me, you know, deal with all of that heartbreak. I don't want her to see that because, you know, I don't want her, you know, to feel a certain way, you know, towards men. And I don't want her growing up, you know, feeling like she can't trust anybody just because of what she saw me go through. You know, because, you know, her and I are very close and you know, and that was always my fear. So, you know, it took a while for me to actually start going out there. But I could see when women feel like that, you know, and it's, you know, at one point I even said, you know, I'm going to be alone for the rest, you know, forever, you know, until Izzy goes to college. That's when I'll start dating. I could really relate to that because I went through all of that.
I'm going to take area code 813. 813, you're now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, I believe I know who this is. Fellow Blog Talk Radio host, DJ Squid. What you know, good brother?
Hey, what's going on, ARC? Another great show for you, man. Hey, listen, and listening to the lady's comment, and it caught my attention. I even had to interrupt my special massage time. Mama's taking care. I got this bad shoulder. But anyway, I'm listening to the women speak about their children, and I don't want this to sound too defensive, and I know that's going to shock my listeners, but is it fair for women to speak for their children when it comes to the way a child feels or how they're going to cope with introductions to people outside of the biological parent, particularly if there is truly a bond between that child and the biological parent? Hell, if there's not really a very nurturing relationship between the parents, but is it between the child and its parent, the absent parent or the distant parent, is it fair, again, to speak to or speak for or on behalf of children?
Well,
because only the child knows what they're experiencing.
Right. That's why it's so important to talk to them. You need to communicate with your children. You need to protect them. But this is a very dangerous area when moms try to determine whether or not the children are having a relationship with their dad. And the more angry and resentful they may be toward the father, the more they are likely to try to alienate the kids from their fathers, and it's a big problem. It's toxic. It isn't good for the children. On the other hand, you don't want to be forcing relationships if the children don't feel comfortable. So you have to speak to the kids and honor what they're saying and listen. Parents need to be listening more and watching their kids, because kids will act out. If they may not tell you everything, but they'll show you in their behavior. They'll either get depressed and turn in, or they'll be angry and start acting out and having behavior problems. Either way, they're showing that they're disturbed about the circumstances following a divorce. And it's important to find out what's going on with them and reassure them that they matter most in your life, and you can get to the bottom of it. And sometimes you do need professional help to do it. But I totally agree with you that there's a lot of things that happen that are not fair, and people don't understand the consequences of what they're doing, and it may not be for 5, 10 years later, and then when the kids are grown up as adults, they really get angry, and they lash back at their parents at the decisions they made before, during, and after the divorce.
And the other lady, if possible, if you have a comment on it at all.
Jessica, you
I agree with her completely. I mean, I think the most important thing in a situation like that is you have to be very open with your kids. I know I always talk to my daughter, and, you know, I can, you know, just sometimes just by looking at my daughter, I know that something is wrong, because there's something in her that's different. She's acting different. She's talking different. She's being very quiet. There's just certain things that she does that I can tell when something is wrong. Like when I started developing the reality series, I was spending a lot of time away from home than usual. And because of that, she was acting out in the sense that she wouldn't go to bed when my parents would tell her to. And then when I was home, she wouldn't, listen to me. She wasn't eating, the things I was telling her to eat. Like she was acting out. And you have to look for all that. You know, I think it's definitely really important to be open with all of your kids.
Can I ask one more follow-up, ARC, before I go back to doing what I was doing and listening to you? It's an excellent show, okay?
Go ahead.
Or make a statement. Then stop laughing at me, man. I'm trying.
No, I'm thinking about what you sacrificed to call in. That's what I'm trying.
Oh, man, I love her, man. But I want to make sure I put this out here, and there's going to definitely be varying opinions, but the men don't have a clock. So, our patience can run very deep and it can be misconstrued. But just wondering and just thinking, when women say, well, there's time involved and I wait X number of months, I just want to make sure I put out this out there as a word of caution. Men don't have a clock, and we can lie in wait almost forever to make the move or to wait to get whatever it is that we're seeking, even if it's ultimately seeking a wife, so and even cloaking these other motivations if any exist. So I just wanted to put that out there for the ladies to always keep that in mind. We're not operating on the same kind of biological clock or whatever other kind of relationship clock. We're just patient and waiting to see what it is that we want. I appreciate you, ARC. Good job, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your call. Well, right now we're going to take another intermission break, but listeners, if you want to call in with your own questions or comments, got another 20, 25 minutes of the show. I'm willing to take all calls and get your thoughts on the whole subject of the challenges of dating for single mothers, but I will be right back after this intermission break. Don't go anywhere.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we'll post about getting a better job, we'll tweet to say that we love what we just ate. But when's the last time you MySpace someone and tell them you've been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/leftblank. To email your story to us anonymously, send it to jollialli@jollialli.com.
Another Sound Off Now show starts now.
Yo, what's up? This is man, Sound Off Now. What's good, people? Monday morning, first of the year. How's everybody doing? Yo, what's up? This is man, Sound Off Now. What's up? This is man, Sound Off Now. How's everybody doing? Welcome to a Tantalizing Tuesday on the Sound Off Now show. Hello, how everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Sound Off Now show, special edition, Monday night special, Crisis in Haiti.
Hey, this is your man, Sound Off Now. No, really, it's me this time. I want to take this quick opportunity to invite everyone out to my return to internet radio and my home, of course, Blog Talk Radio, February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sound Off Now show, The Rebirth, same real life, real talk, real issues show format, just a different attitude and mental concept of bringing you quality shows you deserve. Also, we will still be hitting you with that popular mesh of hot show topics and forums with that blend of music on the side, including hot, hot, hot Club SOM Platinum on Fridays, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. So join me February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the rebirth of the Sound Off Now show to the internet airways and Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you there.
Lifted myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself that. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because okay.
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl have this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated, he's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that, because she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some ways she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my open discussion forum topic for this evening, which is the challenges of dating for single mothers on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to about the last 20, 25 minutes of my episode tonight of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're having an open discussion forum tonight, which simply means that I don't have a special invited guest such as a book author or a relationship expert, but I have had two women who have provided a lot of their thoughts and insight on the whole subject of the challenges of dating for single mothers. One had to take off, Rosalind Sadaka, but I really appreciate her. Her book is entitled, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? A Create a Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love. So look that up on Google. Her name again was Rosalind, R-O-S-A-L-I-N-D, last name S-E-D-A-C-C-A. And I still have Jessica Fernandez with me for this last segment of the show. But I want to invite my listeners to call in with your thoughts, opinions about I want to definitely hear from some more women, want to hear from some more men about the whole idea of single mothers out in today's dating scene. The number here is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Let me give a few more shout-outs. I got Ann J. in my chat room. I got author Gail Brown in my chat room. I got Fun Club. Hey, that's one of my terms, Fun Club. That's interesting. I mentioned that in my book. He probably got a different definition, connotation to it, but that's one of my terminologies in my Mo 1 book is fun clubbing. But I got Fun Club in my chat room. I got ILBC Group in my chat room. I think that's Reverend Perp. I got Keisha 01 in my chat room. I got Take Over Radio in my chat room. I got Sir Cherry in my chat room, and as well as a number of other guests and listeners and friends and supporters who I've already given shout-outs to. But, yeah, Jessica, let me ask you this. What should men be sensitive to when dating? Pursuing a single mother?
I think they should be sensitive with, you know, with the fact that, you know, the child, you know, with the child situation, whether the child, you know, whether the person they're pursuing is divorced and the child, you know, is having a hard time dealing with the separation with, you know, the father, you know, being outside of the house. Or if it's, you know, in my situation where my daughter has never, her father is not in her life at all. And she's pretty much grown up without a father in her life, you know. And, you know, I guess, you know, what I would suggest is that when men are pursuing women who have children, it's to be very sensitive in the fact that, you know, these children are, you know, that, you know, they, you know, they're just regular children, and that they need to kind of be sensitive with the fact that they're looking for that father figure, and that, you know, no one can replace who their real father are. But, you know, you also have to be that role model. You know, you don't have to, you know, expect to be the father, but just set a good example for them.
Okay. I'm going to take a call from area code 708. Area code 708, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your thoughts, questions, comments?
Well, first of all, I want to say hello. My name is Tego Radio. I'm Sean Jay.
What's up, Sean Jay?
Wanted to swing through and show you some love.
Appreciate that.
I'm also a host on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. And, well, tell my listeners on what day and what time they can listen to your show.
Well, they can find me tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We're going to be doing a show called Pillow Talk. And for all you lovers out there, you know, to cuddle up with that special somebody, you can call in, request all type of music. And we'll get it on for y'all. We can apologize.
8 p.m. What zone? Is that 8 p.m. Eastern?
8 p.m. Central. You can find us on at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your thoughts about tonight's subject, the challenges of dating for single women?
Well, I feel like this, being a man that dated a single woman who's a parent, I actually have done that a couple of times, and that is a very trying situation, especially because that person is very vulnerable at times, and you can't really, you know, the moves are kind of up and down, and you kind of get yourself, you want to walk away, but you can't walk away, and you got to understand it from both points of view. You know, when the baby father may walk out, or, you know, with a situation where you just leave and don't care, you know, so it's kind of a rocky situation. But, I mean, if you ain't tried it, I say try it. Never knock something that you try it, because that situation is a good experience, because it brings, when you get that person, show that person that you're really good to them, it's something that will make that person open up to you.
Okay. Okay. Let me ask you, Sean Jay, you got any kids?
Well, no, I don't.
Okay. Have you ever dated a single mom? Had any issues ever dating a single mom?
No, I've never had issues dating a single mom, and yes, I have dated a few single moms.
Okay. Okay. All right, brother. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate the love. And let me see if I got, I think I got another call here. Area code 580-580. And you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest Jessica Fernandez. What's your question or comment?
Hi, how you doing, sir? This is BC. This is the ILBC show, man.
What's happening, brother?
Hey, you know, much love to you and your guest and your and everybody in your chat room, man.
Thank you.
You know, I'm listening to this, right? But and still yet, I think some of the women, you know, it's nothing personal. This is how I am, you know, upfront and personal, right? I always make this comment: you are what you eat. Okay, quit settling for nonsense, right? And if you don't want a certain individual in your life, you ain't gonna have. I'm a single father 3 years, bro.
Okay.
You know, I have dated single women with kids. And the first thing I tell them right off the bat, you're not going to meet my kids. I don't want to meet yours right now. You understand? You know, I don't play that. You know, my thing is, hell, you know, I raised kids since they were 3, 5, and 9. Now they're 24, 20, and 18, and never see a woman came to my house. Okay? You know, we have to set standards for our offspring. That's why they're in a chaotic situation as they are right now. You know, settle for nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. And we complain and whine all the time when we get the wrong individual. Like Squid said, you know, most often than not, when you're a single mother, right, you know, most men look at you as a jump off right off the bat, first and foremost. Right? Most
now,
men.
You remember, if my listeners saw the movie Jerry Maguire, I don't know how many people saw Jerry Maguire, but I remember Tom Cruise played Jerry Maguire's sports agent, and he was interested in Renee Zellweger's character, and she was a single mom, and Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character, who he won an Oscar for this role, but he had a funny line. He warned Tom Cruise. He said, whatever you do, do not shoplift the pootie. Do not shoplift the pootie. Basically means saying, don't take advantage of a single mom because she might be emotionally vulnerable just to get the ass. What's your thoughts on that, Sean Jay? Have you known male friends of yours to shoplift the pootie?
Oh, yeah, that's always, man. But come on, now, this is 2010, right? And if you ain't woke up yet, right, you relegate yourself to a simpist life, all right? And you get what you deserve, you understand? And I'm saying it's not a bad thing, but we have to sit up here and have some common sense about, like, when you have a kid, you have to protect your kid, right? You know, and to the lady that said, well, you know, the three relationships she had, you know, the men in her life met her kids and all that other good stuff. Man, you don't know the ramification. We did a show with Greg and Sean, right? And a lady came in here after she was 40 or 50 or whatever it is and told us, right? Now the kid is 20-something years old telling her, you know, that she wasn't a good mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by what she did. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people can say, well, they can talk to kids all day. I can talk to my kids all day, right? But really and truly, they don't understand the ramification until later on in life sometimes.
Okay, I got to ask you, Jessica, since I still got you on the line, you got any particular thoughts about some of the things that Sean Jay is saying?
Yeah, in regards to what he said, in regards to when a man sees a woman who's a single mom, he automatically is going to think of her as a jump off. That's actually my thought.
Hello? Did I lose you? Hello? 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 Jessica? Your number's still in the phone queue, but I don't hear anything. Uh-oh. I think we at least momentarily lost Jessica. So until I get her back, Sean Jay, continue with your thought.
This BC, man. But you know, but for me personally, right, it's just I see it all the time. I work for the school system, man, and I see these things that, and women say, well, you know, I talk to my kids, but come on now, why? You know better, do better, because you know, and you're looking. Me personally, I think most of them just looking for the quick fix. You understand?
Single moms are looking for a quick fix.
Man, look, to sit up here and bring man after man in your kid's life, what are you looking for? What good could that do?
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you think, let me ask you, since I lost Jessica, I'm kind of getting your head, Sean Jay. What do you think about if you were, let me put you in this situation. Let's say you were a young guy, I don't know, let's 10, 12, and you saw your mom, let's say you were being raised by a single mom, hypothetically, and you saw her kind of bringing in different men, like every 3, 4, 5, 6 months, different man. How do you think that would affect your psyche?
Man, you know what, bro? Alan, right, like I said, I work in the school system. I work in a Title I school, and I can bring reality to you, right? I'm sitting up in here with a woman with 5 kids from different fathers, right? And I have a fourth grader, okay? Just miserable as hell, you know, and he comes to me, you know, and don't like the man that his mother bring into the house. You know, he's so frustrated. They got him on Ritalin and every damn thing else. Every day he's lashing out. You understand? Every day. And I live that reality with these kids every day, and I see this stuff every day in our community. So we know, you know, so when they're telling me about bringing 3 and 4 men and yes, they're going to games and all that, look, I have a good friend, right? Talk to her all the time. You got a man living with you. Your son play basketball, right? But this individual just living with you never went to your son's game, don't participate in your kid's stuff, but you still have him living with you. What kind of damn asinineness is this?
Yeah, that's crazy. I want to give a quick shout-out to Miss Egypt 99 for joining me, Hard Talk Radio, for joining me in the chat room. And I think I have Jessica back. Jessica, as you were saying before you had some technical difficulties.
Hi, Alan. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
No problem. So what were you going to say? You had some thoughts about some of the things Sean Jay said?
Yes. When he made the comment about when a man sees a woman with a child and he's automatically going to think of her as a jump off, that's my biggest fear. When I first date a man, the first thought that goes to my head when I meet a man because of what I went through is, okay, he's automatically thinking that I'm a jump off or that I'm easy. So I automatically, you know, play really hard to get. I'm very, you know, that's my biggest fear, is that a man is going to, you know, try to take advantage of me because of the fact that I have a child and that I am a single mother. Because usually that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth. You know, right away I let them know that I am a mom. I have a daughter, you know, and she's 6 years old. I always am very honest up front. You know, about the fact that I am a single mom.
Wait a minute. Don't say honest and upfront. You know, if you're on my show, you got to say upfront and straightforward.
Oh, yes. That's the first thing I say, it upfront and straightforward. That's the first thing I say, is that I'm a single mom. Because I'm
okay,
not ashamed
Jessica,
of it.
Just for saying that, I got to have you say for my listeners, you got to do the Mo 1 chant. My title of my book is called Mo 1, and a lot of times I have my guests say the chant, they stretch out the O's. Mo One. Give me your best rendition of Mo One.
Mo One.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One. Get up front, straight forward. Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Area code 409, 409, you are up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest Jessica Fernandez. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I don't know if y'all talking to me or not because I'm hearing two different, you know, segments.
Oh, you got to turn off the show in the background because, see, I'm going to get feedback and all that stuff. And,
okay, yeah. Because
so I'm talking to you live right now. We only got about 6 minutes left in the show.
Okay, well, I'll make this one quick. I can feel what the brother was saying about the ladies with the little boy that's in fourth grade with all the problems and everything. I volunteer with CASA Kids, so I know about the little children with different parents and everything. But I'm a single mother. I raised my kids with their dad all of their life, so my kids were kind of grown when they left. So they know about different men, and I know that I won't ever bring none around them. They'll see a man in the street, and they'll ask me, Mama, would you date him? I just never bring none around my children. So, it's just something that I just would not do around my kids. I just respect my children to the highest because they know nobody else but their dad, you know. But I feel sorry for those kids that parents bring different men, and after a month of being in a relationship with somebody and they realize it's not going to work, then about 2 months later they have another man that ruins the children for life. And they're going to remember that for the rest of their life. And I don't like it at all.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask Sean Jay this question, and I already asked Jessica this question. And I don't know if you really can speak beyond your own individual experiences and speak for others, but at the start of my show, I don't know if you were listening at the beginning, at the start of my show, I gave some statistics that they updated. 41% of births to all women are to unmarried women, and that's up from 28% in 1990. And by ethnicity, 50% of all births to Hispanic women are to unmarried Hispanic women, and 73% of all births to unmarried to black women is to unmarried black women. Sean Jay and 409, what's your first name? 409.
Oh, Gail. I'm sorry, Gail.
Gail?
Gail. Yeah.
Okay, Sean Jay and Gail, why do you think there are 3 out of every 4 women giving birth that have yet to be married, never have been married? Any thoughts on that?
To me, I would say, it's like a generational curse. People just really need to consider their past and what their parents been through, and sometimes they need to just decide to make a difference, make a change in their life, and not follow up the same pattern that they've been accustomed to all their life. You know, these are some changes that people need to just sit back and decide, I don't want to raise a child like this in this kind of environment. I don't want to bring a child without a parent in this home. I don't want to bring a child with depression, seeing different men running in and out of my home. I don't want this. I don't want this around my children. And they need to make that decision, you know. It's a decision that a mother really needs to make before she get a man in her life. Don't bring another man in her life unless she knows that this is somebody she's ready to settle down with and her kids are going to be happy with. It's not just about her being happy. It's about those kids being happy.
I heard that. Well, speak it, sister. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Gail, and appreciate you calling in, Sean Jay. Jessica,
yeah.
I appreciate you staying in this conversation for so long.
Thank you for having me.
Huh? Because you're in New Jersey, right?
Yes, I'm in central New Jersey.
Now, what's the dating climate these days in central New Jersey?
The dating climate?
Mm-hmm.
Are
the men and women getting along with each other? Is there a lot of animosity between single men and single women? What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm gonna, from my perspective, is I have a lot of friends that are single moms. You know, I'm not the only one in my group. It's actually a lot of my friends haven't had a hard time dating. I mean, most of them are in really good relationships. You know, I've had a few who have dated a lot of men, but you know, I think that
I haven't seen an issue with any of the single people that I've known. They're single parents, men and women, that are, you know, that are having issues with dating. I mean, I have an issue with dating because I have that trust issue. But other than that,
Do you have a trust issue because you've had a lot of men try to shoplift the pootie?
Yeah, basically that, and also because, you know, I'm very overprotective over my daughter because of what I've been through. And, you know, and that's also an issue that, you know, I'm dealing with. I'm a work in process because, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. You know, I believe that there is a good man out there for me. I just have to, you know, have faith. My friends make fun of me all the time. They're like, a man's not going to come, you know, knocking at your door, Jessica. And I'm like, well, you know, when the time is right, it's going to happen. God's going to put me in the right place at the right time. And I'm going to meet him and I'm going to know who he is and I'm just going to feel it. And, you know, I just have that mentality because I feel like if I just go out there and put myself out there and, you know, I have all these men coming for my attention, that that's the person that's going to go, you know, be in their mind is, oh, she's, you know, easy because she has a kid, you know, and that bothers me that men think that way. And in my mind right now, I feel like all men are going to think that way when they first meet me.
Well, I got a quick apology. BC, man, my apologies, man. I don't know where I got Sean J from. I could have swore for some reason I thought you said something about Sean J. But BC is who called in earlier. I see Madison Media Radio and Jamton came in my chat room. But BC, yeah, my fault, man, my fault. I think you mentioned Sean probably from DJ Squid Show, Sean McDowell, who's been in the chat room to be enlightened. Jessica, I thank you for joining me tonight. Your thoughts and opinions and viewpoints are much appreciated for this conversation, and I wish you nothing but continued success. I hope your reality series is picked up and is a smashing success.
Thank you.
Yes,
much
love to you, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. Have a nice night.
Uh-huh. Join me next week. I don't know the specific topic just yet. You know how I've been doing it recently. Sometimes I have all my shows lined up, and other times I do it week by week. So I'll keep you posted. Go to my site, mode1.net, MODEONE.net. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. All the women who are mothers, have a very happy Mother's Day. I'll see you here next Thursday.